How's everybody today? I'm kind of quiet today. Not very rowdy. Well, I'm very glad to be here and glad that you are here. We are continuing in our series on great hymns of the faith, and we have a special guest here who will be singing for us in a few minutes. But I want to talk a little bit about what we're going to be thinking about over the next few minutes. We talked about several of the wonderful songs that the church has sung through the ages, and I don't know, I had decided previously we might have to do a part two on this because it's very hard to pick just a few hymns. But since I'm the teacher, I picked my favorite hymns. And so I know there are many others that you would like to hear as well, and so maybe we'll do that again sometime. But today we're going to be talking about a very beloved hymn with some great theological truth in it. And this hymn is the favorite, "He Leadeth Me." Now, you know, many hymns are written, even though this hymn was written in 1862, many hymns are written in that romantic style of language, the old English style. You know what I'm talking about? "He leadeth me." And you'll hear the words of the song. You have the card on your table with the words, and you'll notice that the words are written in that very kind of romantic style of the 19th century, 18th and 19th century. And sometimes people, I think, don't even pay attention to the words because they're a little difficult to understand. But I personally enjoy words that are written in that style because it helps me remember them. And it makes them significant, and they stick in your mind sometimes a little better. And so as Sherry sings this song in a few minutes, I want you to follow along with the words and really think about them and make sure that you understand the meaning. Now, in the Bible, there are quite a few themes and metaphors. We talked about many of those. God's faithfulness. We've talked about God's love. We did "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." And today we're going to be talking about God leading his children. And that is a recurring theme in the Bible, that God leads his children. If you open your concordance and you look in the back of your concordance and you look under the word "path" or "pathways" or "paths," you will see many, many scriptures that talk about the walking with God being a path that we walk on. It's a metaphorical way of speaking, the path or the way of life or the way of living. And we need to be led in this path. There are other pictures that illustrate this truth. Jesus in John 10, we'll talk about some of these scripture, calls himself, he said, "I am the good shepherd and I lead my sheep." And we have that picture of the shepherd and the sheep. But the overall point is that God intends to lead his children while we are here on this earth. Now, in Philippians, Paul tells us that we are citizens. Where's our true citizenship? It is really in heaven, is it not? We are really strangers in this earth because we operate to a whole different set of principles and a whole different set of principles than other people do that are not believers. And so we need God's guidance, his leadership, to lead us along this path of life in the different seasons and times of our life, depending on God to lead us, to show us the way that we might walk in a way that is pleasing and honoring to him. Now, what does it mean to have God lead us? That's what we're going to talk about. How does he lead us? How do we know when he is leading us? These are some of the things we're going to talk about. And I think this song illustrates some of the great truths in Scripture that we need to understand and we need to grasp as we understand what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. Because, and here's why I want to talk about some of these things, as you know, as we try very hard in here to talk about the practical application of God's Word, not just something that sounds churchy and wonderful, but what does that mean? What does this say to us, and how can we apply it? When you leave here at 12:45 and you go back to your office, how can you take what God has said in his word and apply it to your life? That's when you find out what it really means, don't you think? In 1862, a man named Joseph Gilmore was preaching at First Baptist Church, Philadelphia. He was using as his text Psalm 23. And if you can think of that date, 1862, you would know that this was in the darkest years of the Civil War, when our nation was torn apart. And it was a horrible, horrible, difficult time for families, for everybody. in our country at that time. And he was preaching on Psalm 23, and he meant this to be a message of comfort. And interestingly enough, he had preached this message before, which is what preachers do. And he had preached this before, and he was prepared to give his regular message. But when he got to the first few verses of Psalm 23, he found that he could not go past those words. You know the words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And he could not get past that very first part of his sermon, overcome with the words that he leads me. Afterwards, he was visiting with some dear friends, and he began, as they were talking, he sat at a table, and he just began with a pencil on a pad of paper to scribble the words of this song, "He leadeth me, O blessed thought." And he wrote all those words. He handed them to his wife, and she, without him knowing, sent them in to a newspaper in Boston. He never knew what happened to him until several years later. He was preaching in Rochester, New York, as in view of a call to see if he would be the new pastor there. And as he came in, he was a few minutes late. He heard the singing, and he picked up the hymnal and opened it to the page and found that they were singing the very song that he wrote. He did not know it had been set to music. He did not know it had been published. And he sat there in that congregation listening to the words that God had made so real to him, set to this beautiful tune, and how it moved him and has become such a classic of the church. So I want you to listen prayerfully as Sherry Bell comes and sings. Sherry is my little special friend, and she is the husband. Well, she runs the show, believe me. She is the wife of Todd Bell, Mr. Music at Prestonwood. You saw him a couple of weeks ago. He was doing Great Is Our Faithfulness, that faithfulness we had your choir do that. And they were our guests that day. You didn't even know it. You were here already. But she is here, and the reason I wanted Sherry to come, I know all of you know there are wonderful soloists everywhere, but Sherry is one of my favorite because not only is her voice so beautiful and so melodic, but her face and her countenance when she sings just preaches every message you would ever need to hear. And so I wanted to share her with you. I want you to know her, and I want you to be blessed by her singing. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Susan. Mm-hmm. Well, hello. Such an honor for me to be here with y'all today. And I just want to say real quick, I'm so thrilled Susie is doing this study with you. Because so many times, especially if we've grown up in church singing these hymns all our life, we sing them over and over and we don't even realize what we're singing. We don't listen to the words real slowly and real carefully and go, "Oh my goodness, I didn't even realize that said that." Or maybe it takes us years later in adulthood to realize what we have sung. So I'm looking forward to hearing her speak on the words to "He leadeth me." I'm going to sing a cappella. I hope it's not a distraction to you. But I love just any chance I get to sing without the music. So I hope that doesn't bother you, that you just have my raw, more like Ethel Merman voice these days. And Donna's going to help me by giving me my note. I'm going to cheat a little bit.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still by God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me by His own hand. He leadeth me, His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp my hand in thine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content, whatever lot I see, since 'tis thy hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, my task on this earth is done. When by thy grace the victory is won.
Amen.
In death's cold wave I will not flee. Jordan leadeth me, he leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me, his faithful follower I would be, God leadeth me.
Amen. What'd I tell you? Susie will tell you the truth about these things. Thank you, Sherry. What great truth there is in this song. You know, for many years, OS, my husband and I, and many other pastors, took tour groups to Israel. And we found out from the very beginning, from the very first time we went on a trip, that the most important thing you can have to make your trip good is a good tour guide. Because we don't know the language, although my husband can say hello in two languages, so he thinks he's fluent. He thinks the louder you say it, the clearer it is. Even though the other people laugh when he says it. It doesn't bother him. I don't know. I'm mortified, but he just doesn't bother him at all. But a tour guide knows the language. He knows the customs. He knows the food. He knows the shortcuts. He knows where to go. He knows the days to go. And a good tour guide makes all the difference in a trip. Now, I don't have time to tell you all the stories we had until we found our good tour guide. We had tour guides that sold our people without our knowledge ancient coins that we found out were worth about $1.50 a piece. We had tour guides that were interested in some of the single women on our trips, especially if they had a lot of jewelry. And we've got some good stories about that. We had quite a few other people that obviously, we had one man one time that I guess he thought we had never read the Bible before. He made up stuff. He just made up stories. I'm like, what's he reading? What? Where's that? I've never heard that story. Well, it's because it's not in the Bible. And so it took us a while, but we found our tour guide. We found Avi and then some of his friends, his associates that were good tour guides. You know what? We could trust them. They knew the languages, Arabic and Hebrew. They knew the shortcuts. They knew the roads. They knew the days things were open. They knew the food. We could go through the old city tour, and they could say, try this. This is typical of this food, and it's very safe. Don't even think about eating that, or we won't see your face for 3 days. And I love to have a good tour guide. A good guide makes a trip worthwhile. Now, it's not hard to see where I'm going here, is it? That we need a guide. We need God to guide us in our life. We don't always know. We rarely know. We hardly ever know what's ahead. And we need God to direct us, not only in our spiritual life, but in our everyday life, in our job, in our family life, in our everyday decisions. We need God's leadership. Now, sometimes God leads in very dramatic ways. Other times, if you're like me, I think I've been praying for God's guidance. Why doesn't he make it clearer? Why is it so vague? I don't understand. Why can't he make it very clear? And there's everything in between. And I remember a story that I heard when I was in China last year. And one of the missionaries was telling us that he had returned to a village where they had planted a church, a small house church, a secret church. And he had come back to this small town. And once he got into the middle of the city in the little square where there was a little store there, it was late afternoon, it was dark, it was winter, very cold. And he realized he could not remember how to get to that house where this house church was meeting, waiting for him. He was going to teach a Bible study and check up on him and see what was going on. And he realized he did not know where this place was. And so he stood there, as so many of their stories are, and he asked God to send someone to show him where he was supposed to be. He couldn't remember. Well, there was a little group of children playing around him in front of this store, and this little kid kept coming up, pulling on him, and, you know, and he pat him on the head and give him a little piece of money or a little candy or something, and finally the store owner came over and said, "This little boy tells me that he knows you." And he looked down at that child, and all of a sudden he realized that was the son of the family that he was going to visit. And so he said to the shop owner, in his own broken Chinese, he said, "Tell him, can he take me to his father?" And he said, "Of course, that's what he's been trying to do." And, you know, and the missionary said, "I guess I was waiting for an angel or something, you know. And here's this little kid pulling on my leg, talking, jabbering, you know." And I was like, "Get away." And here was God's direction. Well, sometimes God does that, doesn't he? It's not always as dramatic as we might like it, but he does lead us. You know, in that song, I think one of the key phrases in the song that Sherry just sang is, "By his hand he leadeth me." And I wonder if the author took this from the verse in Psalm 139:10 where David, in that classic psalm, where he says, "And with your own hand you lead me." And I wonder if that's where that came from, because it tells us that God's leadership in our life is very personal. It's very, very personal. Now, let's talk quickly about where does God lead us and how does God lead us. First of all, where does God lead us? In Psalm 23 that I mentioned a few minutes ago, we know that the Bible tells us that he is pictured as our shepherd. We are the sheep, and he leads us beside still waters. Now, that simply means, according to anything you read about sheep, that simply means that he leads us to provide for us. Still water. Sheep like to drink from still waters. They don't drink from roaring rapids. They're scaredy cats. They're afraid, and they don't want to do that. And so that implies, that teaches us that God leads us in the way that he will provide for us. But the second part of that psalm says that he leads us in the paths of righteousness. Now, I want you to think about that. That's what struck me as I was studying for this, that he will lead us in the paths of righteousness. Now, what does that mean? First of all, it means that he will lead us to salvation. He will lead us to salvation. Romans 2:4 says, "It is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance." Who led you to an attitude of repentance? What led you to realizing that you were a sinner and that you needed Jesus in your life, that you wanted to follow him? The Holy Spirit. He was leading you to salvation, and that's the first step on the path of righteousness. He is not willing, 2 Peter 3:9 says, he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved. All should be saved. And so he is willing to lead all to repentance. He leads us to truth. There are so many verses in the Psalms that talk about God leading us in the way of truth. Psalm 25:5, "Show me your way, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me." I love the verse in Psalm 43:3. This was my verse a few years ago for the year, and I love this verse. "Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me to your holy hill, to your tabernacle, to the place where your glory dwells." God's truth and his light will lead you into his presence, where he is. And that's where I want to be. That's where you want to be. And so his truth, he leads us in the way of truth. Now, what does that mean? Well, in John 16, when Jesus was talking to the disciples, he said, "When the Spirit of truth," talking about the Holy Spirit, "when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth." All right? First of all, he will guide us into doctrinal truth. He will help us understand the Bible. As we're confused, maybe, or we don't understand something, we say, "Lord, show me what this means." And if you really mean it, and you're not trying to read things into it, or you don't already decide what you want it to say, he will do that. He will lead you into doctrinal truth. And that is so important because it helps you understand the truth about God and who he is and how we should respond to him. Secondly, he will guide you into inward truth. Now, David understood this principle in Psalm 51. When he wrote his psalm after he had sinned, his terrible sin with Bathsheba, and of all the wonderful things he said in there, he said to God, "For you desire truth from the heart." Now, don't you think David understood that much in a much deeper way than even we could, because David had fallen victim to the lie of sin, hadn't he? And he had been tricked into thinking things weren't wrong, and he deceived himself. And now he says, I should have looked at the truth from the very beginning. Now here's the thing. Sherry just mentioned this to me in the car. She was praying last year that God would show her the sin in her life. Do you really want to pray that prayer? Get ready, right? He will do that. And so, but why? I love that somebody will be honest enough to pray, Lord, show me where I am wrong. Because if you really want to know the truth, God will show you. He will show you. He wants you to be truthful with yourself, truthful with Him in your heart, in the place that only you and He can communicate. He will lead us in the way of peace. In Luke 1:59, Zacharias, the prophet, Zechariah was speaking of Christ, and he said he will lead us in the way of peace. Now, I know sometimes you have to have some conflict to make peace, but let me tell you something. That is not the norm. Paul says in Romans, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. It is God's will that we live in peace and unity with one another. And the wonderful thing is that he leads us, as the last verse of that song says, even when our time in life is over. Now, it is a picturesque way of saying, using the Jordan River as death, and many old songs and spirituals use that way. And the Jordan is a river in Israel, and crossing the Jordan is a metaphorical way of speaking of crossing over into eternal life. Psalm 48:14 says, "For this is God, our God forever, and he will be our guide even unto death." And that means even unto the last days, hours of our life, God will guide us. He will take us. He will lead us the next step over across Jordan. And we're going to talk about that again in a minute. Now, let's talk about, so how does God lead us? These are some of the ways, this is where he's going to take us if we follow him. Well, how are we going to know? Well, you know, there are many interesting things in the Old Testament about God's leadership. We have the audible voice. We know that God spoke to Moses face to face, friend to friend. We have many instances where God spoke, and Abraham, for example, heard the voice of God. There were dreams. Daniel had dreams. Joseph in prison in Egypt had dreams. Joseph, the father of Jesus, the husband of Mary, was warned. Remember, coming up to Christmas time, we'll hear this story, was warned in a dream to leave Bethlehem and to flee to Egypt because Herod was going to kill all the baby boys. And so God spoke oftentimes through a voice. He spoke through dreams. He spoke through angels. He spoke through angels to Abraham, to Gideon, to Paul, to Peter in the New Testament. There's some also really kind of strange things that back in the very beginning day, in the beginning of the nation of Israel, the high priest would have stones on his breastplate representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And there were two stones that were used in discerning God's will, the Urim and the Thummim. Yeah, I know. Y'all think I'm making this up like that tour guide. I can tell your face. I'm not. This is in the Bible, Leviticus 8. You can read it. And so they would pray and wait for the stones to light up. Now, nobody knows exactly how that worked, if they lit up, if they cast them like lots, whatever. But it was a way of determining God's leadership. But you know what that tells us? That even then, they expected God's input on the everyday decisions of their life and the direction, the spiritual direction that the priests would take the people. Now, of course, you have the fire and the cloud, the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day of the Israelites who were in the wilderness. How many of you have ever said, if God would just leave me with a pillar of fire or a cloud over the house I'm supposed to buy, how hard can that be for him? He did it for others. Well, I know we all want that kind of leadership, but that was for another time. Today, if we are believers, how are we led? John 16, Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you. The Holy Spirit is given to us. Now, there are several ways now that we determine God's guidance. With the coming of the Spirit, if you just read through the book of Acts, you will find that dreams, voices, and all that begin to fade out as the coming of the Spirit was understood by the early church. And it's interesting that so many times, when God led in the early church, especially in the life of Paul, it was usually by an impression. And so often that's how God leads us today. I won't take time to read these verses, but in Acts 15, for example, a very dramatic occurrence, the Jerusalem Council, where believers met together and they were determining what was going on in the early church. All these Gentiles were coming in and the Jewish Christians were thinking, wait just one minute here. We don't know if this is what we want. And so they met together to go over everything. And as it was all finished, they sent a letter to Antioch, which was the church that was really the missionary church north in Syria, to spread through all the churches in that area. And it's interesting, if you read through it, these disciples, they don't say, God told us this, and God told us this, and God told us this. They use this phrase, it seems good to us. It seems good to us. Now, I am usually a little suspicious of people who tell me all the time, God told them this, and God told them. Maybe he does. I know. He can. He can. But, you know, in my own life and the people I know, it is so many times it seems like they discern God's will by it seems right. You understand what I mean? It seems the right thing to do. The pieces fit together. Morally and ethically, it's the right thing to do. The opportunity is there. It seemed good to us. So many times the Holy Spirit does not speak in an audible voice, but he speaks to us through strong impressions. This last weekend, we went to New England, weekend in New England, Barry's song. We went to New England where OS preached at a pastor's conference. And we met a couple there, this couple, they had five children. They were in a nice church in South Carolina, and they felt such a strong pull that God wanted them to go to New Hampshire and pastor a small church there, which is pioneer area for Christian work. And we sat there and talked over a cup of coffee. She has five; they have six children, five still at home, and she homeschools those five. And I looked out the window. It's about 4:30 in the afternoon, and it was pitch dark. And I said, when the men were involved, I said, okay, how are you doing this? How's it going? And she said, it's really, really hard. And she said, the only thing that keeps me here, keeps me sane, is knowing that God led us here. God led us here. We do not question that. And that keeps me here. See, knowing the security of knowing you're in God's will, knowing that God led you there, can enable you to walk through some dark times. And yet they've seen some wonderful things happen, miraculous conversions and people coming to Christ. But it's very hard up there in the cold country. But they can do it knowing that God led them there. And her story was really such a sweet story of how God guided them every step of the way. And you know what? It just seemed so clear to them. It was just as plain to the children and to she and to her husband that that's what they were supposed to do. God led them. Now, another way God leads us, of course, is through Scripture. Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That is why it's important to understand how to interpret Scripture. That's why it's important to understand how to read the Bible, that you don't just do Bible roulette and open it up and say, give me a verse, and go like this and get a verse. Now, maybe God can take care of you that way. I think I told you one time, my last time I did that, I didn't have time for my quiet time. You know how that goes? I got to have a verse right now. And so I did this, and it was in some verse in Deuteronomy that says, curses be on you and your children and all of your generations. I said, okay, I'm sorry. I'll just do without the quiet time, without that. No, never mind. I learned my lesson on that. Don't do that. In your reading, your daily reading of the Scripture, God will guide you. I have found that when the Scripture is going to give me leadership, so often it just comes in my daily reading. It's not me looking in the concordance trying to find the verse that I think will say what I want it to say. It finds me. You know what I mean? I don't find it. It finds me. Or it's in the word of a song. Or it's in the sermon or the Sunday school lesson that you hear. Or it's in the radio. I remember one time where I just heard the greatest thing on the radio that blessed me so much. I just needed to hear that one thing. And God will do that through his word. It is the lamp to our feet and the light to our path. And let me say this as we finish talking about Scripture very quickly, is that this is what the dangerous thing here with the Holy Spirit and the Bible is, that sometimes we can be very subjective. Can we not? We can think God's telling us things that he didn't really say. We can find verses and try to make them mean something that maybe God didn't intend them to mean. And now you know what you do? That's when you go to your friends. That's when you go to your counselors. That's when you go to your mentors and you say, I think this is what God is saying. Would you help me? Would you pray with me? Would you give me counsel? God made us for a community, and he gave us the church, the community of believers, to help us discern his will. I love that little verse in the book of Acts when Paul was preaching, and he preached in the synagogues in a little town called Berea. And there's one little verse, and it says, and the Bereans went back home every day after he preached, and they searched the scriptures to see if what he said was true. What a great thing to search it out for yourself. See if what you say, what someone has said is true, and help one another in that way. Another way we often find God's will is through opportunities. Maybe we think, I remember one time, it was just a few years ago, this woman told me that she felt like she was going to be the new Beth Moore. She's a very popular Bible teacher. And I wanted to say, yeah, you and about 9,000 other women all think they're going to be the next Beth Moore. Well, I thought, well, you know, what do I know? I'll just wait and see if God gives her the opportunity. Well, I don't think that's happened yet. I know that's not happened yet. And we talked about that. I said to her, well, are you teaching now? Are you working now? No, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait until, you know, I have an opportunity to teach a large women's Bible. You know, and I just thought even then, that's not going to happen. That's not the way God works. You don't just decide you're going to do something. You have to have guidance from the Holy Spirit, guidance from the Scripture, and the opportunity to do it. Very important. You know, one of the most beloved people in the Bible, in the New Testament, of course, is Peter. And I think the reason we all love him so very much is because he failed on a regular basis. And we all relate to failure, don't we? And he was just always messing up. But I think, and we can look at his life and see the messes he got into, the times when he said things he shouldn't, the times when he denied Christ, how painful that must have been. And yet, Peter is the one person in the Bible. The very first words recorded that Jesus said to him was when he was at the seaside in Galilee, and he looked at Peter and his brother, and he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The first recorded words of Jesus to Peter were, follow me. The last recorded words of Jesus to Peter were in John 21, after Peter had denied him at the Sea of Galilee. I mean, Peter, after his denial, and Peter had said, Lord, I love you. And Jesus said, do you love me? Do you love me? You remember this story in John 21? I know I've told it in here before. And suddenly, and Jesus says, Peter, someday someone's going to lead you where you don't want to go. And Peter suddenly realized this was not a happy prophecy that just came to him. And he looked over at John, and he said, well, what about him? And remember what Jesus said? If I want him to remain until I come again, it's none of your business. Well, that's kind of what he said. He said, you don't have to worry about that, Peter. And I can just imagine this scene, Jesus looking directly into Peter's eyes and saying, you follow me. Listen, you can't be looking at the way God leads other people. By his own hand, he leadeth me. He will lead you in the direction he wants you to go. Now, the thing is, the last chorus of that song says, I will follow him, and I will let him lead me. What good is it to have a leader if you don't have a follower? Our part is to follow him. I love that last verse that tells us that even when it's time, when our time on this earth is done, that God will lead us in that next step. There's a wonderful story of one of our great missionaries, Lottie Moon, who gave her life in China. Incredible suffering and work she did there, and such a great story. In the last days of her life, something like 40 years on the mission field, there was a great famine in China, and she began to just give her food and her money away. She was so overcome by the needs of these starving people in her yard, and because of that, she became very malnourished herself, and she couldn't think straight, and she became weaker and weaker. And so the mission board sent a nurse to take her home, and she was very, very sick, and she was on a ship leaving China on the way to Japan to come home on Christmas Eve. She was in a coma laying on her bed, and her nurse, a woman named Cynthia, writes the most moving account of how she was this little shriveled up lady in the bed. and quiet in a coma. She didn't even know if she was living. And all of a sudden, Lottie Moon's eyes opened, and a smile spread across her face, and she looked up, and she raised her arms in this way, which is the traditional Chinese greeting, like your eye wave and say hello. And she looked up with a smile on her face, called the name of several friends, and gave the Chinese gesture of hello, I'm glad to see you. And with that, she died. What a story. God led her, even unto death. And that is our security, and God will do that for you. By his own hand, he will lead you. But you have to follow. And let me leave you with this verse. I know we need to go. John 10:27, when Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, and I lead my sheep. And he said this, I'm the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. That means they listen to me. I know them. He knows you, and he knows you, and he knows me. He knows every one of us. I know them. I can just hear you saying, I know them. I know them so well. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they will follow me. May God give us the grace to follow him as he leads us. May he give us the discernment to discern his will and to see where he's leading us. And may we be so secure in his love to know that he wants to lead us, and he cares enough to do so. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this truth of this song. I pray now for those that are here, Lord, that are struggling with this in some area of their life, determining a job, a house, a relationship, some financial decision, wanting so desperately your guidance. Father, I pray that you would lead them. I pray you would make your way clear. I pray you would lead each one of us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, that we might please you, our great shepherd. How we love you and thank you that you gave yourself for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See you next week.